One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
You know, she says at the end, like, I want to say, you know, a few things. One is like, never, never, ever give up. And I was just like, oh,
so fresh off the marathon.
Yeah, I'm feeling vulnerable.
Hello and welcome to the Sherlock Team podcast with me, Sherry Andrew. Today I'm joined by Harriet Russell and Polly Sayer. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
How are we?
Good. How are you?
Well. Yeah, good. I mean, we're still in this temporary setup. We will be moving to the proper studio soon, but we've got a revamped format. It's fresh.
Loving it.
We're enjoying it so far, aren't we?
Yeah,
so
pumped for something fresh, you know.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
First time in the new format, though.
Yes.
Recording.
True. Yeah. So let's see how. I mean, I'm excited. We've got a good chat coming up, and I know we'll come to this a little bit later on, Polly. But I have to ask, marathon.
Oh yeah,
your marathon.
I mean, I'm so not bored of talking about it. I'm probably boring everyone to tears. But is that not like the whole reason you do a marathon, to be able to tell
talk
everyone
about
you've
it
done
for
one
for the rest of your life?
Exactly.
Yeah, it shall be dining on that until next year. Yeah, it was amazing. I'll talk more about it later because there were some questions in the box about it. Mm-hmm. But truly, like one of the most incredible life affirming experiences of my life. Yeah, it was just so good.
Amazing. And have you recovered? Do you feel back to normal now?
Mostly, yeah. I would say I'm still a little bit stiff in places. Mm-hmm. I tried to go for a little run yesterday and like managed about 2K, and I was like, I'm just going to listen to my body here and go home. But it's also like when you've got nothing to work towards, if it's hurting, you're just like, oh, fine, I'll just go home.
I'll just start
now. Yeah, yeah. Like, what's the point? So I think I need another challenge to work towards. But yeah, it was amazing, and I'd love to do it again next year. So we shall see.
Did you get tempted?
Absolutely not.
All right, cool.
You know what, Sherry? I'm like zero intention of
I have,
ever doing that.
Yeah, I have the biggest
but it
admiration.
Mean I don't like listening about it.
Yeah,
this is it. I love listening to people's stories.
Yeah.
As a big busted lady myself, it's just I've never found a sports bra.
Fair enough.
That like running is just not my thing.
Yeah. Interestingly, I mean, I'm not a big busted lady, but I follow a girl called Savannah Sashdev. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And she's like a running influencer. She's also hilarious. She mentioned she had like a breast reduction, I think, at one point. But she said like the best running bra she's ever come across for bigger boobs is a brand called Mari. I believe it's like Mwaree.
Ooh.
And she said it's like incredibly supportive.
Yeah.
Like, and looks nice.
Okay.
I think it's kind of hard to find like
it's not like industrial. Well, I don't mind industrial.
I don't mind industrial. I have a shock absorber from like 2004 that proves how much I actually exercise, but it's still going strong. And but it is a bit like being in a back brace.
Got you.
But I guess if for like not necessarily for running, but like any kind of exercise, if you do want something that's going to keep them
for high impact,
check out.
Nice. Right, let's talk about things we're loving this week, this month. Harriet, let me start with you. What's your first thing?
First thing is a TV show. It's called Fallout on Amazon Prime. It was pitched to me by my boyfriend as, oh, we've got to watch this new show, which is dystopian and based on a video game. And I literally gave him a look that said I could not be less interested.
Yeah, that would switch me.
But that's like The Last of Us, and that was the same premise.
Well,
and
exactly.
I was like, it's not for me, but I loved it.
Yes.
So.
I am actually addicted to it.
Really?
To the point where I haven't probably done this since the first season of The Crown. I'm like eking it out because
wow.
I don't want the first series to be over.
Okay.
So the premise, and all of this is in literally the first episode, so it's not really a spoiler, but it sort of opens in the 60s at a child's birthday party in LA. They're up in the hills, they're sort of looking down over the city, and it's obviously the height of the Cold War tensions, and you can tell everyone's kind of on edge. And fast forward through the child's birthday party, you start to see this mushroom cloud forming in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see another one. And then you see another one, and then you see another one, and you realise, like, the worst is happening.
Mm.
And everyone kind of scatters. And what you see is a lot of the very sort of wealthy people that are at this child's birthday party go into what was quite common at the time, like, sort of historically speaking, which was people built sort of underground vaults and bunkers with the idea that this was a real tangible threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them all sort of scrambling into these bunkers. And then it just cuts the screen, and it says 219 years later.
Oh, okay.
And so the story kind of continues from there, and what you learn very quickly is that the vaults have become a real sort of way of life. People are living down there. But what's weird is they've gone through the generations. They've gone through this, like, regression. So it's now a very, like, idealised Stepford Wife type 1950s existence where, like, everything is, like, cheery and perfect and, like...
What film does that remind me of? The one with Harry Styles and Florence Pugh?
Yes.
Oh, Don't Worry, Darling, that was it.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of that.
Kind of like that. Kind of like Pleasantville, if you've ever seen that. So, yeah, it's kind of, like, instantly creepy because they're all wearing these, like, very futuristic spacesuits, but they're living like it's 1950s.
Yeah.
And what you learn sort of factually is they are aware that the surface is, like, completely decimated. It's a complete wasteland.
This is so scary.
Yeah, well,
it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of it that's quite extreme.
A bit too much.
And there are fantasy elements to it, as in they have these sort of monsters and what have you at the surface, which necessarily wouldn't be true to life. And the story essentially follows one girl from one vault whose father is kidnapped by what they call raiders, who come down from the surface, who are aware that the vaults exist and have a much better standard of living. And they come down and they raid their resources. And her father is kidnapped. Her father is played by Trey from Sex and the City.
No way!
Yeah!
You know what? He's been in some really... We were saying the other day, some high-profile things, but have gone under the radar.
Sex and the City, Karl McLaughlin's had a real career.
He's in Desperate Housewives as well, wasn't
he?
Yeah, I think that's how I first watched him.
That's awesome. Yes.
So that was quite fun. But it follows his daughter. She has to go to the surface to find him.
Okay. That sounds good.
Sounds very gripping.
And it is gripping.
Netflix.
Amazon Prime. I think there are 8 episodes. I've watched 6. And the characters and what have you are so multi-layered. I say it follows that one girl, but really it's sort of, there are several storylines going on at once.
Yeah.
I suspect there'll be more seasons, so we'll see.
Okay, that sounds really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Okay, fab. So TV, what's your next thing?
The next thing is a book, which is, people might remember, I was on a podcast last summer and we were sort of talking about summer reads and, like, getting back into reading and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was saying that one of the authors that really sort of turned my reading around last year was Emily Henry, who writes contemporary romance. And on the face of it, you could easily dismiss it as light and frothy and not that serious.
Yeah.
It's not that serious, but it's not quite light and frothy. Like, there are some serious things in there.
Yeah.
And I just love her books. I've read every single one.
Mm.
Beach Read was the one that went sort of a bit viral last year. You might have seen that on TikTok and stuff. But there's Beach Read, People We Meet on Vacation, Happy Place was the release from last year. And then literally, I think last week, Funny Story came out. Now, this is really sweet. I had a really poorly start to the year, as people might remember, and Heather actually ordered me the press copy of Funny Story because she wanted to cheer me up.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
I actually got
that's
to read it.
Nice. Good colleague points.
Best colleague in the world. So I actually got to read it a little bit before publication, which was exciting. And it's just, it's another absolute home run. I just love it. And I do think if you're struggling with reading, you want to get back into it, you don't know where to start, you don't want anything that's too challenging. Her style's just, like, super easy. But you'll equally get through it and not feel like, oh, that was a load of trash, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people want, just, like,
a
relatively
want,
easy read, like, you know it's going to be a nice ending.
Yeah.
Bit of substance, but not too not too much.
But equally, like, light relief in these times, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's nice to have a bit of
it's
space,
fine to
isn't it?
Obviously read lit fic when you want to, but this is, this is just really cheerful, life-affirming.
Yeah, so it's another romance.
It's another one. It's literally in her wheelhouse. It's always about sort of, there are tropes within this genre that, you know, whether it's brother's best friend or fake dating or what have you. And this one has a bit of fake dating. So in a way, they sort of do become a bit predictable. But I don't really worry about it because I think what saves it is her development of character and the actual sort of setting and the place and the people. And every one of those feels quite original. So it doesn't matter that, you know, she's falling into tropes that other authors use all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Nice. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
And what's the third thing that you're loving?
My third thing is Beauty Brand. I've just tried a couple of things from a brand called Naked Sundays, which it's not like brand new, but it's kind of like making waves. I've seen it a lot on TikTok. It's definitely been getting more traction this year.
Okay.
And I don't know that I'm necessarily their target customer. I think it's probably aiming a bit younger.
So Gen Z.
Yeah, girlies. Because the packaging's like a bit holographic and purpley and like quite fun.
Seen,
But I don't know if any of you guys follow a girl called Sophie Floyd.
I actually do. Yeah, she's cool, right?
Really cool. She's
her.
Yeah, and her makeup is honestly
always. Yeah, if I'm thinking of the same person, her makeup's always flawless.
Unreal. She's got quite a 90s aesthetic. She changes up her hair quite a lot, but generally it's always like this quite dark, sharp bob.
Yes. That's yeah. the gal.
She's and so cool.
Yeah, she's so cool. I mean, Sophie, you're getting like a major shout out right now. But yeah, she's got these tattoos that are so beautifully done, and she's just, yeah, she's amazing. I just want to be her when I grow up.
Yeah.
But she used this product from Naked Sundays, which are the Cabana Glow Drops, which... very similar to a Drunk Elephant type sort of pitch.
Yeah.
It's essentially like a highlighting fluid, but I would never use it as a highlighter because actually when you pour it out, it almost looks like a tinted moisturiser.
It's like
thinner.
Underneath your base.
Yeah, first step.
Yeah.
Except it's SPF 50.
Ooh,
so
okay, that's
the
good.
Whole sort of like shtick of the brand is skincare first and ultimately SPF first. Like I think pretty much every single one of their products has SPF 50 in it.
That's so good.
Yeah, really good.
Because usually the hybrids, it's only, you only get like SPF 15 of like a foundation or whatever, which is basically not really worth wearing.
But we all know that SPF's becoming a much bigger like topic in beauty and people are taking it more seriously than ever.
Yes.
So it was really interesting to see a brand like literally put SPF 50. And of course, the thing that you worry about is like with an SPF 50 is like everything's going to look like this horrible grey, ashy, white cast. No, this is like the most beautiful product.
Oh, wow.
I've got on today under foundation, but it... it's
your
honestly,
skin does look lovely and glowy.
Yeah, it does.
Very fresh.
Thanks, guys. But I've also tried, there's a setting mist in there. Admittedly, if you have oily skin, it might not be for you because everything does have a kind of like glow angle about it. But I have like chronically dry skin. And
you would never know, Harriet. I feel like
your skin
is
looks
so glowy and like...
it does.
Do you know what I mean?
I put
hydrated.
The work in. Yeah. I put the work in. And it's funny because it's not always been like that. My skin's gone through massive changes. But yeah, I love them as a brand. I honestly, everything I've tried is so nice. But that particular product is so good. And it's ridiculously affordable as well. I think it's only... I think the Drunk Elephant ones are over £30. And this one's under 20.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Naked Sundays.
Naked Sundays.
Nice. I like that brand name as well. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Lovely recommendations. Thanks, Harriet. Polly, let's come to you next. What are you loving?
So the first thing I'm loving is Curl Supreme is a pair of running trainers. They are the new On Cloud Boost Hyper. And they kindly sent me a pair a couple of weeks ago before the marathon. And I think they were developed by athletes for athletes. That's what they say on the website. But they are just... so comfortable and so springy. I decided to end up like running the marathon in them, and I dare say, like my feet have actually come off pretty scot-free, which is like surprising. I think for like you know first marathon,
that's so
I've only got like one slightly flat.
Because what do people say about you should be breaking trainers in or not?
I think like certainly not on the day of, but I think like you know a week or two before it is fine. They were saying nothing new on race day, basically. But they are just, I don't know, they're just super springy. They give you a bit of a boost forward. Really light. Obviously, like, running trainers, I think, are quite personal. And obviously, it's worth going to get your gait checked out and things like that. And maybe, I'd say maybe if you need something a bit more, like, stable for your ankle, that might be not the right choice for you. But if you're quite neutral, I think they're... amazing.
I think it's the ones that almost look like if you're holding them up, they have got like a curved...
kind of, yeah. And like they've got kind of like, almost like, I don't know, I'm trying to describe
it's
it.
It's the sole with all the like holes in it.
Yeah, although these don't have holes in them anymore. My mum has had a pair of On trainers in the past and she's like, oh, they were a nightmare with the holes because you just get stuff stuck in them. And I was like, oh, I never thought that. But yeah, they've kind of sorted that bit out. And they also have on the laces that's kind of like silicone lined, which means they really stay like tied up and you don't have to, like, there's nothing worse than like having to stop to do your trainers up again. They stayed in put. So, I was a big fan of those if you're looking for a new pair of running trainers.
You are like fully in your
running era. I know. I've really made it my entire personality.
But it's a good thing though, like, it's a positive thing.
I'm enjoying it.
Bringing you joy.
Yeah, it is bringing me joy. And like, there's a whole community out there of people who love it. And I just love that it's like, you know, you can do it anywhere, it's free
You don't need a membership.
Fundamentally,
you can just...
it is free, but it's been wonderful. And then the second thing I want to point out is a brand called Ruby Loot. They do these little kind of baby tees, which I know is possibly a little bit LG for the She Loves podcast, but I'm not an LG, I really like them. They're a little bit cropped and the material is this really nice soft jersey that just kind of sucks you in but doesn't, like, not too tight, but just really skims you in like the nicest places. And then they have like some cool slogans on them. So I've got one that says God is a woman on it, and then there's one that says like,
I feel like Daisy has one of these.
Yeah, I think Daisy has it too.
Okay, yeah. Very cute.
And they've got ones that are like, you know, look up, basically. I don't look at my tits.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're kind of sexy and kind of cool. And I feel like I might get a couple more for the summer. They just look really good with a pair of jeans.
Yeah, nice.
And I think you can like the founder was talking on her stories yesterday about how if you wanted them slightly less like skin tight, mm-hmm. you can just obviously size up and they're a little bit more relaxed fit, but I kind of like go true to size. But yeah. I really like them, mm-hmm. so something like that. And then my third pick is a film which is not actually that new, mm-hmm. But I watched it on the weekend, called Naiad, and it's on Netflix, mm-hmm. and it's about a woman called Diana Naiad who was, I think she swam from Cuba to Florida, mm-hmm. which is about 100 miles.
Wow.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but my mum watched it, and it was one of her favourite films.
Oh my god, it's just amazing. Like, wow. I bawled my eyes out.
Is it like a documentary
it.
Or like a fictionalised?
Well, apparently there is a documentary which is, like, next on my list, but it's a fiction one.
I think I've seen the documentary. Ages ago, I remember being like, this isn't... Like, how has so anyone inspiring. Done this? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, like, she swam, like, that 100 miles, but I think she did it finally on her maybe fifth or sixth attempt. Mm-hmm. And she tried it first when she was 28 and failed because I think the conditions just have to be absolutely perfect, you know, wind, storms and whatever, mm-hmm. And currents, and she failed at that and, you know, was an amazing swimmer but couldn't quite crack that. And then when she was 60, decided that she wanted to have another go, and everyone mm-hmm. was telling her, like, this is humanly impossible, yeah. you know, especially for someone of your age and as a woman.
Quite dangerous as well, yeah, I imagine.
I think she, on one of the attempts, she had to pull out because she got stung by a box jellyfish. Mm-hmm. And there are also sharks, which that's another kind of cool part of it, is that they had this sort of device which emitted some high-pitched frequency, which was like a mm-hmm. shark deterrent.
That's cool.
Why didn't you use that one? Yeah, like how scary, but also cool. And yeah, like had to pull out, four times. I think maybe on her fifth attempt, she finally managed it. And obviously, it's a drama, so it's all acted. But then at the very, very end, sort of in the credits, they mm-hmm. show you like real footage of her kind of hobbling into Florida Keys, mm-hmm. And the rule was that she had to be like both ankles out of the water in order for it to count. And they're like, no one touch her, otherwise it doesn't count. And I just bawled my eyes out. Yeah. I was just like, what an incredible, like, inspiring story of someone who was mm-hmm. basically told, no, you can't do it. You're a woman, you're too old. This isn't possible. And, you know, she says at the end, like, I want to say, you know, a few things. One is like, never, never, ever give up. And I was just like, oh, so
fresh off the marathon.
Yeah, I'm feeling vulnerable. But yeah, if you're looking for something really inspiring to watch on Netflix, I absolutely loved it. It was mm-hmm. amazing. So.
Sounds so heartwarming. So Naiad, it's called.
Yeah, Naiad. Right, okay. And how about you, Sherry?
So, okay, what am I loving? Well, at the start of this month, I just got back from quite a big trip. So I thought I'd just share a couple of highlights, because that is something that I was, you know, loving the whole way through. Honestly, it was one of the best trips I've ever been on, like, in my life. So me and my boyfriend went to Guatemala first for 10 days, and then to Mexico for 10 days, which was just incredible. Anyone who's thinking of going to that part of the world, I just can't recommend it enough. The people are so nice. The food is obviously, like, incredible. The scenery is stunning. It's just everything you want for a holiday. And obviously, you're guaranteed good weather if you go in the... not outside of rainy season, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty guaranteed. But the first place we went to was a small town called Antigua, which is in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. And it's got very colonial-esque architecture. And you've got all these huge volcanoes in the background. And it's just such a beautiful place. And lots of people hike the volcano. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That sounds very intense. Because you have to have you've got to be a hiker to do it. It's like a two-day trek. And I thought, I just want to relax. Have some mezcal, have some margaritas. So we didn't hike that. But it's so beautiful. And then from there, we went to this place called Lake Atitlan, which is kind of like their version of Lake Como, but like four times as big. It's huge. And there are loads of... You can only get there by boat to all the villages. So you have to get like a speedboat there, which is very cool. And then you're basically like marooned on this part of the island. And you can like take boats to the other parts of the villages, which are all like really colourful, very beautiful. And you just have like the most incredible views. And you can like watch the sunrise and the sunset. And there are like monkeys and lizards. It's very, because it's volcanic and it's really hot. Yeah, you get lots of really cool wildlife.
Yeah, I love that.
So that was cool. And then my favourite places in Mexico were, I mean, Mexico City was amazing. I mean, I think Charlotte went last year.
Yes, she did.
Mm. So I did a few things that she recommended. So we did this food tour called Eat Like a Local. Uh-huh. And it is quite expensive. It's like £100 for, I think it's 3 or 4 hours, but it's so worth doing because mm-hmm. you get like a local guide who lives there and they just take you to all of that, the cool street food vendors and places that you wouldn't maybe be brave enough to try or just find by yourself. So it's obviously a lot of tacos, lots of like street food. We had these really cool like corn that was cooked in the actual leaf, and they put like spice and like feta on it, and it was just delicious.
Why are we recording this at midday?
Pre-lunch.
Oh, yeah. I know, I'm so hungry. So that was amazing, and a lot of the money goes to their social project. They work with lots of young girls in the community who don't get it's, your money really does go to like a good place. So that was really good, and we did a hot air balloon ride as well, which Charlotte did and was just incredible. I would say I wouldn't recommend that if you're scared of heights, because you are. I don't even know how high up we were, but it's pretty.
There's something very prangy about a hot air balloon as well, like being that high up, and it just feels like this flimsy little basket.
You're in a basket.
Exactly. I know it's like, you know, probably some science behind it, but I'm just like, I don't know, man.
A bit risky. We thought, oh, fuck it. You know, if we go, then
you've lived to tell the tale.
Exactly. It's very safe. Like, we went with like a reputable company. Otherwise, some places you want to have like obviously health and safety first. So that was great. And then we went down to the Yucatan Peninsula, which is basically where Tulum is, but we stayed in this amazing hotel called Casa Chablis for originally two nights, and we extended it. We were like, we can't leave, it's so beautiful.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
it is. It's very expensive, but if you're in that part of the world, I just feel like it's worth just doing like one like blowout hotel. And it's on its own private beach, and there were only like two other guests there who actually got engaged while we were there, so that was really nice.
Lovely.
They were like, oh, so sweet. But it felt like we were just on our own like private hotel,
nice.
And beautiful, and like the food is amazing, and like the sunsets as well. It's just like holiday, what you want from a holiday.
It's just holiday on toast.
Holiday on toast, exactly. So yeah, the only downside I would say, if you're that in that part of the world, it's very likely you're gonna get sick. So we did get food poisoning a couple of times. Yeah, I think from like the ice, even though we were really careful, but you just can't really avoid it. So I'd say bring Imodium, rehydration salts, paracetamol. Well, I mean, obviously they have that there, but just like be fully prepared. But worth it. We were fine after a day or so.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I'm loving this month. So Selfridges have opened an Afro textured hair salon called the Steam Bar.
Yeah, cool. So we put this in our weekend roundup. So
we did. So I went last weekend for my first haircut in, I'm actually not going to say how long, way too long. But I had a cut, a steam and a blow dry. And it was such a lovely experience.
Oh, that's so good.
It was so nice. And also it's the first like Afro salon in any department store in Europe.
Wow.
Like dedicated to Afro salon, which feels
wild, isn't it?
It's wild. It's kind of like, it's such a shame that hadn't happened before.
Yeah.
But also, it has now, so.
Yeah. I also feel like Selfridges are real trailblazers, aren't they?
They really are.
So hopefully that just sparks, like, the others to follow suit with it.
Yeah, exactly. They were one of the first, I think, to stock, like, Dizzy Yak and those really nice Afro, like, luxury hair brands. Mm. So, but you know, they do, like, the steam treatment, you're under this, basically, like, steaming pod with a scalp scrub, and then they do a deep condition, so your scalp just feels so clean. But they do braiding, you can get your hair silk pressed as well. Anything that you would get at a traditional black hair salon, they basically do there. But it's like an elevated experience, and they're like, do you want to order from the restaurant next door?
Oh, so nice. Oh,
I know, I was like, cheeky pasta. I mean, I didn't get anything, but I thought,
I know you could.
Exactly, the option was there.
Yeah.
And it was just so lovely. You can just go there for a cut and blow dry, you don't have to have textured hair. So yeah, it was really lovely, so I recommend that. I think it's open for 3 months, but I'm hoping they're going to...
It's
temporary, I think, yeah. But I think they might.
Maybe it's like a trial period.
Exactly, okay, so fingers crossed, they'll keep it.
Cool.
And then on Friday night, we saw Challengers, the new Zendaya film, which I added to my list. I'm loving, because I really enjoyed it. And Harriet, you saw it as well, didn't you?
I saw it on Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Okay.
I really want to see it.
So the premise is, Zendaya is a tennis star who had to retire at some point due to an injury.
The tennis girl.
She's a tennis girlie.
And what?
So, and then she's dating these two guys who are best friends, and then both go on to become, one becomes very famous, like an equivalent of like a Djokovic or whoever, and then another guy, they're best friends, and he has a less successful career, and it's about their relationship and how they basically are teenagers and then kind of grow up within this limelight, and how that unfolds. And it's very, nothing really happens in the film, like there's not that much action,
there's not that much plot, no,
but it's the way it drives it, kind of it's leading up to this match at the end, and it's the whole film is like building this tension, and I really like the styling. I think it's shot really beautifully. The music is really good as well. It's very, it feels quite 80s.
Which is weird because it's not set in the 80s.
No, it's present day.
Yeah. Kind of like that though. It's almost like Sex Education's a bit like that, where it's like obviously not set in the 80s, but all the like kind of set and styling is quite 80s.
Yeah. The adulthood stuff is definitely meant to be like sort of 2017-ish from what I could tell about who was playing on the rest of the tour at the time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the sort of childhood stuff, they go to that party and they play like that Nelly track, and I was like, oh, so we're in like 2004, 2003. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you can kind of get an idea of sense of time and place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I really liked it. I mean, I don't think it's the best film that I've seen in the last year, perfect. But I thought it was really entertaining.
Do you know what? Like, I found with a lot of films, like critically acclaimed films recently, I watched them and I'm just like, I just want to be entertained. Like,
this is it.
You don't get that. So that's
good. Yeah, it's not hard hitting, but good. What did you think?
I think Zendaya's very good in it. I think Josh O'Connor's very good in it. Mike Face, I love as an actor. I think he was underused. Mm. Heather said in her review that it was Mike Face's film, and I'd love to be able to agree with her, but I sort of feel like I know what she means, as in, like, he's got this very, like, subtle performance. People might have seen him in West Side Story when he was playing Riff, and that was obviously a much more sort of bombastic part, whereas Art Donaldson, I do think, is meant to be quite a, like, subtle personality. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't have very many lines, like, beyond the first third of the film.
Yeah.
And I was a bit confused as to his character, because, as you say, there is this missing piece in the middle. They go from being children, where they're all sort of on the up and up, and then it does sort of cut to present day. And Mike Faced has made this transition from teenagehood to adulthood sort of the most dramatically. But you're never sort of told why.
No.
And I was confused by that, I think. And I just, he does do a lot in his face and his expressions and his eyes and stuff. So you do kind of understand what's happening. But I just thought, like, particularly in the teenage bit where he is sort of starting to act like a bit of a snake. Mm. And I was like, ooh, this is like a really, like, insidious part of his character that's quite interesting. Mm. And then
Didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah. And I thought probably if the film has a weakness, it's that there are threads that are sort of explored and then you never see it again.
And none of the characters I found were likable at all.
No, I think this is a big problem.
They were all awful.
Awful people. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because I don't actually think it's a woman versus man issue at all, because they're all thoroughly unlikable. So it's very difficult to sort of come away at the end and think... The other thing that's sort of grated is the ending's left a little bit open-ended.
Yes.
And that frustrates me, because I always think it's laziness on the part of the writer or the director. And the fact that none of them are likable on top of it, it's like you just walk away from it and sort of think, oh, I don't care then.
Yeah,
and that's not
you weren't like rooting for anyone in particular, I don't think.
But like, they can all go to hell.
So. Yes. Like, there you go. Harriet's review in a few words. I mean, but I think worth seeing, and like obviously her outfits on her press tour.
Oh well, yes,
have been mega.
So good. Yeah.
Very
I feel
good.
Like all of her kind of press tour things for various films are like over stylists.
Yeah.
Slaying.
But yeah, I think worth a watch. Do you agree?
Definitely worth a watch. Yeah. But like. 3 stars.
Okay. Exactly. Maybe watch it at home. I don't think you need to see them in the cinema.
You don't need to pay for it. No.
Okay, SL Picks. What have you been enjoying across the Sherlock's platform, site, podcast, socials, etc.? Polly?
I really enjoy the Barcelona City Guide.
So love to hear it.
It was obviously, it looks, all of our city guides just look very beautiful. Mm. And I was pleased to see that a couple of places that I went to when I went to Barcelona in February were on the list.
Well, I looked at your stories. I think you did. Is it in your highlights?
Yeah, it's probably in my highlights. Yeah, I stayed.
That place that you stayed. Yeah, really cool.
It was so cool. It's a place called Havana Hus. So it's a kind of like Cuban fusion with like Scottish.
Yeah, that's
quite a but like really affordable, but like really chic and cool. Like, I love the interiors. The room was great location, nice breakfast. It's always like an important thing.
Very important.
For me. Loved it there. And then one of the restaurants I went to called La Bala Busta was on the kind of like relaxed eats, which I would totally agree with, because like, I think as a couple we're not too into like fine dining necessarily.
Yeah.
But just like nice food, so it feels relaxed, and it was like a lush Middle Eastern place. And we got to sit outside in February, which was so good. But
so nice.
To those. So hands up to you, Sherry.
Lovely. Thank you. Yeah, honestly, Barcelona, I've only been there once actually, but I'm going there for a wedding later in the summer, which I'm really excited about. But it's just like it's a city like no other. It's so cool, and I just love that everything's late, like dinner's at like 10, which is, that's a bit of me.
Yeah,
and then you can just
I have to say that is not a bit of me, but I understand it.
I don't know why. It just feels like so... I think it's a novelty of it. Like, oh, so European, so chic.
I did go to Barcelona, but probably like 12 years ago now. And I'm sure it's changed a lot. But yeah, I was at dinner and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, where am I?
It's late. It's so hot though.
But yeah, I suppose you can.
So yeah, if you want some recommendations, read the guide. It's live on
site.
Absolutely. There we go.
Great recommendations.
Hey, Harry. No problem, Harry.
I'm going to shout myself out because the business edition went live last week. And this, people might not be aware because we're only, I think this is only our third edition.
Yeah, for any listeners who haven't seen the edition, what's the premise?
So we launched it last summer, I think July was the first edition, and we essentially had sort of looked across the site, myself, Charlotte, Georgie, and we'd obviously been doing bits and pieces of like career, money, budgeting, sort of all these sort of little bits of business type content, interviewing business women here and there to give us their career tips, but it just didn't feel sort of very homogenous, and we felt like there is a part of the Sheerlups audience that would enjoy this kind of content, but maybe they would enjoy it more in a sort of packaged version that came out sort of periodically throughout the year rather than just sort of scattered here and there. Obviously, then LuxGen kind of came to be, and they have tackled career and money in a very different way. So this felt like a more grown-up version of talking to women who are at all stages of their career. We really look at it as anyone from sort of, I'm going to say, 24, 25, really through to retirement, and then, you know, maybe they transition to being our gold reader. But it's really about looking at, you know, success, money, tips, interviews, everything, and sort of putting it in one easy to maneuver place. And this edition was particularly interview heavy, but not in a bad way. I think we looked at the way we'd done the past editions, and we felt like the feedback we'd got was really about wanting to interview women sort of from our space, but talking about business in very different terms. So a good example is the interview that I did with the founder of With Nothing Underneath.
I love Pip.
Funny. Both shirts, they are just so good, aren't they?
And so the interview that we really wanted to hone in on with her was how you do one thing really well and how you make it a success.
Her thing is shirts
And obviously there is sort of expansion within the brand starting to happen, but it was really a really interesting conversation about how she sort of balances that with not getting away from a core message. I always think, you know, brands even like Victoria Beckham, who started with 10 dresses and now it's like a full collection, you know, where's the benefit in maybe sticking with 10 dresses when you have investors and people sort of breathing down your neck? Growth, like, you know, how do you do that without getting away from what you do really well? So that was a really interesting sort of concept that we looked at with her. We also shot her in the store, which was really cool. Nice.
It's such a beautiful store, don't they?
Really lovely.
Which is worth a visit.
Elizabeth Street, if you've not been, definitely go. And then we interviewed Caroline Rush from British Fashion
Council.
That's really cool.
Really big name. And we also spoke to Anna Sweeting, who has just launched the Equity Studio with Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, and they are looking to invest in businesses sort of around the $20 million revenue mark, mainly sort of, you know, early growth stage. So we were talking to her not just about that, but also what she looks for in a good business proposal. So there's so many takeaways from all of these interviews. It's not just if you work in the city, like, this is for you. It's
and really you don't have to be an entrepreneur to read, you know, the features.
Because we also do, we've done a piece this this month on the metaverse. That was a big thing that was sort of hailed as going, you know, to change business, and along with AI and all of that stuff, hasn't really happened. So we spoke to a range of experts about why not. So yeah, there's really something in there for everyone.
There we go. Read the business edition. Thanks, Harriet. I wanted to shout out Heather did a feature last week, and it was about summer reads. So I think there was 18 on there. So many good books. So a new book from Marion Keyes. She really churns them out, honestly, every year. So that's my favourite mistake. David Nichols' new book is also out.
I saw that on Instagram everywhere this weekend. It must have come out last week.
I think it's out now, So that's You Are Here. So if you loved One Day, that's one for you. And then also Coco Mellors, who wrote Cleopatra and Frankenstein, which we all loved last year. Blue Sisters is also out now.
So she can follow it up.
I know. I think it will be good.
The pressure, though, can you imagine?
But no, I've got high hopes.
I always think Sally Rooney's Normal People was her second book. So
there you go.
Conversations with Friends was her first.
Better Than First. But what were your favourite summer reads from last year? Did you have a standout book?
I probably already touched on it with Emily Henry because I did read most of her books last summer, and they are perfect summer reads. But, and this is not a summer read necessarily, but it is such a worthwhile book, which is Wild Swans, which actually came out in the early 90s.
Oh.
I won't attempt to butcher the author's name. It won a lot of prizes at the time. And it's autobiographical. It's a memoir, but it's told like fiction. And it follows the stories of her grandmother, her mother and herself through basically the entire 20th century of China, which is just, I mean, you sort of know theoretically that China's been through enormous changes in the last sort of century and a half, but to read it through the eyes of people who literally lived that experience is unbelievable. Her grandmother was an imperial concubine. Her mother was a senior ranking official in the Communist Party, and she left China in 1970 for education and never went back.
Oh, wow.
It's three incredibly different experiences. It's incredibly intense. There are definitely like trigger warnings. It's obviously quite violent in places and quite upsetting. But I just flew through it in like a week because it's addictive reading.
Okay, so quite a meaty read.
And if you're, I don't know, if you're going on a big trip or something, I think it would probably be quite good to take with you. I honestly, I think it should be on the national curriculum. I really
do. But very educational as well.
Really educational.
Super interesting.
But not in a boring way.
Okay, cool.
Love that.
Well, on the flip side, for some light relief, I read quite a few Leanne Moriarty books when I was away. Yeah, so obviously Big Little Lies is like her biggest one. Yeah. And then Apples Never Fall, which I don't think is as good, but still enjoyable. And that's just been made into an Apple TV series, which with Sam Neill, and apparently that's pretty good. And then Marion Keyes, I always just she has so many books, so I'm just making my way through her. So yeah, I feel like you can't go wrong with a good
Marion book.
Love that.
Okay, moving on to a little bit of news. So Sydney Sweeney has been in the headlines again. Harriet, what's been going on? Tell us.
Well, I mean, this was sort of a follow-up article, but initially the sort of hoo-ha was that a very well-respected and sort of industry titan producer called Carol Baum, she's 81, went on the record and said that she couldn't understand the hype of Sydney Sweeney. And her exact words, sort of, were, she's not very pretty and she can't act, so I don't get Sydney Sweeney.
That's so rude.
Very harsh.
Mean,
very
it?
Mean.
Very mean.
And obviously it started to ignite a conversation. Sydney Sweeney has got a horror film actually in cinemas at the moment, which is getting very good reviews, that she executive produced as well. But prior to that, her big release had been a rom-com with Glenn Powell called Anyone But You. And Carol Baum had said that she had watched this film and it was so atrocious. And to be fair, she's not alone in that opinion. The film did not get good reviews. And there was added kind of controversy because when they were filming, there were a lot of rumours that Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell were having an affair. Sydney Sweeney was engaged at the time to someone else, so when we say affair, I sort of mean that in the truest sense of the word. They both later admitted that that was complete rubbish, even though they had been told to lean into those rumours
to
publicise the film, because, I mean, the assumption is, like, everyone knew they had a stinker on their hands, so the only way to get people into cinemas to see it was to sort of see the chemistry between these two. So it's all
interesting,
like
a marketing technique.
Well, it's probably like time in memoriam. Like, I don't really know that it's like anything new, but it.
In the market for investment worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
just feels a bit grubby for like 2024, especially someone who, you know, she is talented. Anyone who's seen Euphoria will know that. And she does have to deal with an awful lot of crap most of the time. Because she does look a certain way, her body is a certain shape, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, but people do make comments about it. So she's now sort of been piled onto by this producer. And this article was, "Has Sydney Sweeney become the most divisive woman in Hollywood?" And it says, "The megastar is at the heart of a political tug of war, and her breasts are polarising US society. What's really going on?" It's interesting to see where this conversation goes, because in a way, yes, it spawned these kind of like think pieces and what have you all over the place, but the actual sort of like controversy, Carol Baum's not been cancelled.
Do you think it's because of her age?
Yes, I do.
So if it was someone, you know, our age, that would be totally unacceptable. If she's a different generation.
It's like an old lady who said something like, and you're like, oh, God, she's just a bit out of touch and whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said in the sort of pre-recording chat, well, do you think she'll ever work again? And everyone was of the opinion, they were like, absolutely, no one will care. And I thought, I think people will care. I think there will be a conversation now at studios.
Yeah, but I don't think she'll be cancelled.
No, and I don't think she'll never work again. I mean, obviously, she and Sydney Sweeney are never going to work together, are they? So it probably depends on Sydney Sweeney's trajectory from here, whether she becomes a power player in Hollywood. She sort of already is, but there's room to grow.
Yeah.
And then that sort of spawned a bigger conversation about if it had been a man who said it, would it have been worse?
Yeah, I think it would have been worse.
I think that's the only reason
why she hasn't been, like, cancelled is because it's just, like, a woman commenting on another woman. And I don't know, I think people then, it's harder to then call sexism when it's a woman dishing it out, even though, like, women are obviously very capable of sexism as much as men are.
Well, because Sydney Sweeney actually hit back. She said, basically, "What a shame that someone with so much experience and influence in this industry uses that platform to
hate on
another woman."
Totally.
Which is fair, but that doesn't seem to have been like the world's reaction. The world's reaction seems to have been like, does Carol Baum have a point? Like,
I think it's an easy one with, like, so I think the article makes a point that we haven't seen an actress for a while that is kind of as like maybe like voluptuous in the way that Sydney Sweeney is for a while. Like, I guess the look has over the last couple of decades been quite lithe and tall and Julia Roberts sort of shaped, and she's quite sort of Marilyn Monroe and like has amazing boobs, and they've been a kind of she gets them out of it in like Euphoria and stuff, so I guess it's just like maybe a shock compared to what we have seen. And people, I think, not to, it's such a like an obvious thing to say, but like people maybe are slightly jealous of someone so beautiful being so successful, and it's an easy thing to tear her down and make yourself feel better by saying, oh, but she's obviously just got where she is because she's beautiful and has big boobs, rather than like she is very talented and works hard and also has great boobs. So I wonder if that comes into it.
I think it's such an odd thing. It's just so strange. Like, this woman is clearly, as you said, very influential, really respected in the industry. To say, like, she's not very talented, that's obviously a very scathing thing to say, but...
And off the back of one film, it was never implied that she'd watched sort of Sydney Sweeney's entire back catalogue, you know?
Yeah, she's been in some amazing things, like The White Lotus and Euphoria, obviously. So it's just a bit of a, like, a quick jump, isn't it, to say that, like, all this one shit film that I watched, she obviously is also rubbish.
Exactly. But then to then, like, you know, talk about her looks very rudely. When someone starts talking about someone's looks, that you're already losing the argument because it just comes across as very juvenile.
It sounds to me like she didn't like the film.
Bitter.
And to criticise a film, surely you have to go in for the direction, the script, her co-stars. Like, it can't all be Sydney Sweeney's fault, you know?
That's very true, She wasn't the only person behind that film.
She was paid to do a job, and I'm sure she did it to the best of her ability. And yes, it was clouded by this sort of poor PR choice that they all sort of went for. But again, she won't have been the only one saying. In fact, I suspect she was pushed. I don't suspect she's the one saying, oh, come on, Glenn, let's lean into it, because otherwise we've got an absolute bomb about to happen here.
And you can totally critique a film and rip it apart if you want to, without being personal about how someone looks.
I always think commentary on someone's looks in, it's like a derogatory way is just like, I think it's off limits. Personally, exactly. Things that people can't change, you shouldn't be dragging them for.
Agreed. Especially an older woman who has so much
influence.
She'd
know better, wouldn't she? Yeah. Real shame.
But then, you know, she's 81. She comes from an era of Hollywood, let's say, that's like pre-Me Too and very different. You know, people were judged a lot more on looks than talent. They were subjected to a lot more physical criticism that we would stand for nowadays.
But this is why you should be championing someone like Sydney Sweeney, who now wants to be a director, not just an actress, because then when she's 81, she's not going to be saying stuff like this. She'll hopefully be championing younger actresses as well. So this older generation needs to...
It's a generational thing. And as you say, it's a woman versus woman thing, which is perhaps why it's not gone to the extreme that we would expect it to. Because I think another interesting example is when Angela Rayner went for Rishi in the comments the other day. She called it... What did she call him? Pint-sized loser.
That was it.
And the whole house, there was sort of like this frisson because it was... obviously very personal. Rishi's not the tallest man. Does that matter? It doesn't hinder his ability to or not to run the country.
You can do better than that, like to criticise him without going in on his looks.
But everyone in the comments laughed, and it's just interesting, isn't it, to think that if that had been Boris Johnson attacking Theresa May, which he regularly did, people were a lot more outraged.
Yeah.
But with but I think it's an underdog thing, isn't it? It's like, because Angela Rayner's a woman and she's the opposition, it's like, we'll let it go because she's taking on someone who's got immense privilege, maybe. Whereas because this feels more equal, it's funny, isn't it?
It is, No, it is a tricky one, but it is with context, you know.
Yeah. It's rooted in generation, it's rooted in sex or gender, and rooted in context.
Yeah. If you haven't got anything nice to say,
don't say it at all.
There we go.
More of the story, guys.
There you go.
Right, we're now taking a break from the team pod as we have a very special guest in the SL office today. I am really excited to be joined by Colette Laxton, co-founder of Inkylist. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm really, really good. Thank you very much.
Colette's here to share her skincare tips and top picks. I'm really intrigued to see what you use daily.
Yeah.
And all of your like very, very favourite products from the brand. So Colette, I have to ask you, have you always loved skincare? How did you get into this?
So I got into it through my background. So I actually worked in the beauty industry for years. But my passion from skincare came from my own skincare issues. So I suffered horrendously with acne as a teenager. And back then, there weren't really a lot of brands and solutions that could really help your skin. So I ended up at the GP. And the doctor gave me some horrendous antibiotics. And I ended up on... some really disgusting things that weren't pleasurable at all. And for me, skincare is so personal and so emotional. For me, getting the right things and understanding your skin is so important. So that was a real kind of trigger for the world of skincare.
And acne is so common now.
So,
I mean, it always has been, but I feel like that's something that so many, especially young girls, struggle with now. Are there any products from the brand that really help if you have acne or blemish-prone skin? What are some of your favourites?
So I'm going to spill the tea now.
Okay, we're ready.
So my co-founder, Mark, actually created a product for me, which has gone on to be one of our most successful products. Because as an acne sufferer, I was doing really naughty things to my skin. Because you get so desperate. I was using a physical scrub twice a day.
Oh, okay, so that's a bit too abrasive for...
Way too abrasive. Yeah. And this scrub, you were meant to use once a week. But I was effectively trying to scrub away my acne. And even though I knew it wasn't the right thing to do, there's something in the mindset when you have acne of just, I just want to get rid of it. So Mark created a product, a cleanser, called the Salicylic Acid Cleanser. Now, this is one of our absolute heroes because it's really great for all different stages of acne. So whether it's just maintenance, I will always be an acne girl, I broke out yesterday. If you're really suffering with acne right now, at any stage you are in your acne, this is great because it's going to really deeply cleanse the skin. But the key here is it doesn't dry your skin out.
Okay.
So many acne products dry your skin out. And we've also got a spot treatment called the Salicylic Acid Spot Treatment. Now, most spot treatments, again, dry the spot out. Then when you put concealer on, like, it's just a disaster, right?
It's like you put fueling fire with fire.
Exactly. Like, who wants a crusty face? Nobody. So our succinic acid is amazing because it can help you treat the spot, but actually you can put concealer over it and it won't dry the skin out. So what we try to do with our products is be really thoughtful and make sure, just because they're fixing one thing doesn't mean they shouldn't then cause another issue, like drying the skin out, as an example.
I see. And everything in the range is totally affordable. You can happily go into Boots or your nearest pharmacy and get a whole skincare line for, you know, under 30, 50 quid.
Yes.
Was that an important factor for you when you were launching the product?
Hugely important. So the Inky List, the name of the brand, I'm not sure if you know why we're called the Inky List, because not many people do know. Mm-hmm. So the Inky List is the list of ingredients on the back of every product. So whether it's beauty, health, well-being, mm-hmm. food. And that ingredient list is meant to help you to tell you what's in the products. Now, does anybody understand that list? No, because there's, you know, scientific names that nobody understands. So the role of the brand is to make that ingredients list, the Inky List, and make it simple for people. Mm-hmm. That's why we started the brand. So we wanted to make skincare accessible to everybody, so everybody could understand skincare. But if you're going to make it accessible through understanding and knowledge, you've got to make it accessible through price.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we want everyone to have access to great skincare. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we made all the products. I think every single product's under £20.
Yeah, super affordable.
Yeah, which was really tough to do, but is super important for us. I don't want, you know, the size of your purse to be a barrier to you being able to have great skin.
Mm-hmm. And are there one or two products from the range right now that you think everyone should try? Or if you're new to the brand, is a good gateway product?
But I would say for anybody, irrelevant of what your skin's going through or where you are at life stage-wise, hydration is good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got acne-prone skin, hydration is good. If you've got dry skin, hydration is good. Now, our hyaluronic acid is top-notch.
This is my favourite product. That's the first thing that I use. And it's so gentle as well, isn't it?
It's so amazing. And the top tip here is to use it on damp skin. So it's going to draw the water deeper into the skin. Because it's going to work as a carrier. And then anything you put onto your skin afterwards will work even harder because it's going to help transport it deeper into the skin. Right. So hyaluronic acid, our serum, is non-tacky.
Mm-hmm.
Your skin basically drinks it in.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if you are anybody, at any stage, anything going on with your skin, our hyaluronic acid is definitely the one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, if you're starting in the world of skincare, you know, this sounds so basic, but you can do all the fancy serums and all the things in it that you like. If you're not washing your face properly and finding the right cleanser for you,
mm-hmm.
if you're not moisturising and if you're not putting SPF on,
mm-hmm.
there's no point. There's no point using a retinol unless you use an SPF.
Yeah.
So for me, keep it really simple, but find the right products for you.
Yeah.
Our SPF is... Have you tried our SPF?
I've not actually.
Oh. So it's got the most incredible ingredient in it called polyglutamic acid, which is four times more hydrating than hyaluronic acid.
Oh, wow. This is a super product.
Super product. Okay. And the reason that we launched the SPF was because I wanted something that people would actually want to wear. Because SPF's a pain. It stings. Yeah. It can give you a white cast. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not necessarily pleasurable. Yeah. Like a lot
people
of
not really particular about what SPF they use.
Very particular. And also, you know, as an acne prone girl, you know, it breaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
So we created a polyglutamic acid glowy sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, this SPF acts as a primer.
Mm-hmm.
So for someone that's just starting out in skincare, no matter what you do, wash your face,
mm-hmm.
make sure you're wearing SPF every day. And our SPF literally gives you a glow like no other.
Mm-hmm. And all round, it's not just for summer.
No!
Every single day.
You have to.
So what is the most popular product at the moment? What's everyone buying from the brand?
So we have a product, a moisturiser actually, called the Omega Water Cream.
Oh, okay.
My word. So it's a moisturiser for all. It's a really nice, lightweight, hydrating moisturiser. So great for the summer, but it's oil-free. Has niacinamide in it, so it gives you kind of healthy skin and controls the oil. But the brilliance of this is there's a lot of water creams out there on the market. They're 60, 70, 80, 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I think it's 11 pounds.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's honestly, the texture is phenomenal. So a water cream starts out as like a cream,
yeah.
like a normal moisturiser. And as you put it onto your skin, it like turns into a water. Oh, it's so gorgeous.
So satisfying as well.
So satisfying. So this went a bit crazy on TikTok last year, and everyone since seems to just be obsessed with our Omega Water Cream. So that's definitely one that that is trending. And then our Oat Cleansing Balm.
Yes, I also have this. It's so nice. And is it fragrance-free?
Everything in our brand is fragrance-free.
And
yeah.
what's the benefit of that? Why is that important?
Personally, I'm not a fan of fragrance products, but if you have any form of sensitive skin, fragrance can freak you out. And again, as somebody that's had acne, anything that can kind of give give me an imbalance. I'm just not for. And for us, we're about giving you great skincare. And I just, fragrance is not for me.
For a lot of people as well, if you've got sensitive skin or you don't like fragrance. So, you're at the helm of a very innovative brand. What are some of your skincare learnings? What are your do's and don'ts? Anything that you have to do, anything that you would avoid?
So what I will say is skincare is very overwhelming, and at the Inky List, we're here to make it simple. Mm-hmm. We have a team of experts on hand available 24/7, 365. So if you need any help with your skin, DM us, live chat us on our website. We are here for you. I'm stressing that because a lot of people are just trying loads of products and putting too many things on their face.
And layering actives with lots of different brands and products and probably doing too much.
Exactly. So my kind of biggest learning through having the brand is, you know, go slow and low. So don't use incredibly strong actives straight on your face. Mm-hmm. Patch test. Make sure you're testing things slowly into your routine. And I'm not a fan of strong active. I think you can go gentle. I think you can build a routine that's for you. Mm-hmm. And I would say my biggest learning is if I use more than 5 products on my face, mm-hmm. it freaks out.
Yeah, too much, too soon.
It's too much, too soon. And I think also try and be really consistent. Mm-hmm. So if you commit to a new product, give it 2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 4 weeks, okay. Yeah. So really consistently before you...
Me too. This is not makeup.
It makes sense though, yeah.
Your skin is turning over, the cell turnover. You know, it can take up to 8 weeks for something actives to actually work properly into your skin.
So stick with it.
Yeah, and I know that's not a sexy thing to say, but, you know, really, it really,
yeah. Okay, so then what does your AM and PM routine look like? Can you talk us through what are you putting in your face?
Sure. For me, it's like just packing that hydration in. So morning and night, I'm going with our oat cleansing balm. Mm-hmm. So this is a great nourishing cleanser, but it also, you can use it as a mask. You can use it to shave your legs.
Can you?
Yes.
I love a dual product.
That's the ultimate hack product. Okay. But it also takes makeup off. So our kind of tagline on our oat cleansing balm is it removes makeup in one swipe.
Yeah.
So this is like, and I wear like quite a bright red lipstick most of the time. Mm-hmm. And it removes like eye makeup and red lipstick in one go. So I always start with my cleanser, mm-hmm. then hyaluronic acid on damp skin.
Yeah,
I can say this all day long on damp skin.
Get that moisture.
Lock it in. Mm-hmm. And then in the daytime, I'd go in with a vitamin C. So we have a vitamin C and EGF, which is amazing for brightening, but it's not too harsh because some vitamin C's tingle, they're too strong.
Okay.
This is a really, really nice vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And that's my serum step.
Okay.
At night time, I would switch that out. Mm-hmm. And I've got the good old retinol.
Okay.
So I would say retinol from age 25 onwards is mm-hmm. great to start incorporating that into your routine. Mm-hmm. And we have 2 retinols, but one of them is a beginner retinol.
Okay. I think people are a little bit scared to dip their toe into retinol because sometimes it could be too strong.
Yeah, and the last thing you want to do is put something on your skin that's mm-hmm. going to freak it out or ruin your skin barrier. Because if you damage your skin barrier, it takes quite a long time to repair.
Okay.
So for me, the retinol, our beginner retinol, and I'm 37. Mm-hmm. I've got there.
Your skin's amazing. I don't expect anything less.
I've got there. But at 37, I'm still on our beginner retinol. I haven't gotten to our kind of serious one.
So that's enough for your skin.
That's enough for my skin. Yeah, and I've got quite sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. And then I'd finish off with a moisturiser in the day on our Omega Water Cream. But at night, we've launched a product this year mm-hmm. and it has gone insane.
Tell us, what is this?
Bioactive Ceramide. So it's a repairing and plumping moisturiser.
Okay.
It's game-changing.
I feel like Ceramide is a very, it's a buzzy word. It's, you know, there's so many brands using it right now. But what does the Inky List do with it? And what does it actually, let's start with, what does it actually mean? What's a Ceramide?
So a normal Ceramide is really, really good for skin barrier protection. Mm-hmm. So this is going to really, really help the outer layer of your skin and it's going to help to plump.
Okay.
We've developed a new innovation and it's a bioactive peptide. Mm-hmm. So not only is it going to support and moisturize and help that skin barrier, mm-hmm. but it goes deep into the layers of the skin, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get the plumping. If you get starting to get fine lines and wrinkles, mm-hmm. it plumps out the skin. Mm-hmm. It's game changer.
And this is for everyone.
Everyone.
Every age.
Every age. Sorry. And that's actually, because I'm not going to be funny, I am not an anti-aging girl. I know I'm 37, but do I want like an anti-aging product on my shelf? I do not.
Yeah, no.
I do not need that in my life. Mm-hmm. So I love that this product, you know, if you're early 20s, it's perfect for you.
Yeah.
Early 30s, this is when you're going to start to need to kind of work more on your skin. Mm-hmm. And from 40s onwards, this Bioactive Ceramide Moisturiser is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of being so a little bit more specific, you've mentioned acne as well.
Yep.
So for anyone suffering with breakouts and textured skin, on our Becky, who's our beauty director, she will know. She gets so many questions on our community asking about textured skin, little bumps under the chin, forehead, etc.
Yep.
Are there any products to look out for specifically? I know you've mentioned a few, but any others that, you know, are some heroes?
So step one, you need to work out what type of acne you've got and what stage you are in your acne journey. We've just launched an acne analyzer on our website.
Wow.
So within 30 seconds, you literally scan your face and it'll tell you what's going on with your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be acne prone and dry. You might be oily and have blackheads.
Yeah.
There's so many different, you know. Yeah, so I think just kind of saying acne, I don't think you can just fix, you know, with one thing. But I would say in the main for acne-prone skin is oil-free, making sure, like, your moisturiser needs to be oil-free. Like, our Omega Water Cream is fantastic for that. Mm-hmm. Our Salicylic Acid Cleanser. Look, if it was made for me, it's got to be good, right? So Mark made that with love. I don't get flowers. I get Salicylic Acid Cleanser.
Much more useful.
I think so. I think some good ingredients to look out for is something like niacinamide. Niacinamide's great for oil control. So if your skin's kind of overproducing all the time, that's definitely something. And then a big thing for acne sufferers is the post-acne. So we tend to think of, you know, that stage where you've got the acne, but actually afterwards is probably more damaging for people when they get kind of the dark spots and the scarring. And I think, you know, we have
pigmentation.
Exactly that. So there's a few ingredients that are really phenomenal for that post-acne stage. Mm-hmm. So we have a mandelic acid treatment. So that's a spot treatment. So you could put it on specifically on the area that you have that dark spot.
Yeah.
Or if you want it all over now. Are you ready for this? This is super technical.
Okay, come at me.
So have you heard of a tranexamic acid?
I have.
Ah! TikTok.
I know the word. What does it mean? I'm not too sure.
So we've got this incredible product and we were probably, I think, the first brand to bring this into the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been used a lot in medicine and also in, you know, £200-£300 serums.
Okay, so really premium.
Really, it's a phenomenal ingredient and we brought it onto the market a couple of years ago. So this is really, really great for scarring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the brilliance of this is it doesn't have an issue with any other ingredients.
I'm about to ask, can you use it with retinol when you're kind of on it?
So a lot of actives, you're like, don't use that with that. Don't, you know, and it's a very confusing. Tranexamic, you can use it with everything.
Okay, that's great.
It's amazing. You can use it morning, night, no matter what you're doing. And our daughter broke her arm when she was 3.
No.
I know. And for 2 years, we put that on her arm every single day and every single night. And she went from this raised red bump of a scar and it literally is completely smoothed it out and it's completely clear. So tranexamic acid is such a powerful ingredient, but it's so gentle as well. So for me, anyone that's suffering any form of scarring, hyperpigmentation, issues after acne, tranexamic acid.
Okay.
I love that TikTok taught you that.
Yeah, the buzzword. This is why I find it as an educational tool. And it's not just for the face, you use it on your body as well.
It's amazing. Okay. Such a great ingredient.
Okay, that's one to look
at. Underrated, that's probably one I don't really talk about very often.
Yeah, under the radar one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. Okay, Claire, before we end, can you tell us a bit about the Inculus new peptide lip colours?
Bum, bum, bum.
This is your first foray into colour.
It is. So it was a bit wild. And again, I'm going to just say the TikTok word again. But we launched our tripeptide plumping lip balm last year because do you know about lip plumping? You know, if you use like a cosmetic lip plumper, do you know why it stings?
No, what's the science behind that?
So the reason it stings, it's basically giving your lips an allergic reaction.
Oh no, really?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Okay. So that's the sting and that's why it's not ideal.
Really?
And that's why your lips plump up because it's like getting a bite.
Yeah.
You know, your skin raises.
Okay.
So we said if we were going to do something in the lip plumping space, we'd want to do it through science and not through stinging. So we found this incredible tripeptide ingredient that basically plumps your lips over time. So up to 40% plumper lips. You have to use it consistently because this is skincare, not cosmetics.
Okay.
But if you use it 2 to 4 weeks, you're really going to feel the lips plump out. And I actually did it myself in September and it went wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was getting called out saying she's had lip fillers and all sorts. It was crazy.
It was just the product.
And it was just the product. And it went crazy and it sold out. We just managed to get it back into stock and TikTok went. And we had so many people in our community when we launched it said, oh, I just wish it had a tint to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, do we? We're a skincare brand. Okay. But because it's still backed with science and it's going to give you that plumping effect, we decided to launch it in 3 shades. So great for everybody. We've tested it on every single skin tone because obviously colours look different on every single lip colour.
Totally.
And we've gone for this gorgeous, like, nudie brown colour. We've got a berry and then we've got a bright pink. Now, they are lip tints, so they're not going to be kind of like crazy strong colour. It just gives your lips just that little something.
Okay, so a bit of flush of colour, but not like a lipstick. Colour.
Exactly. However, you can wear it over lipstick as well.
Wow, for like a sheen.
A real gloss and an intensity of colour. Yeah, this is brand new. We're launching it exclusively on our website. So I'm very excited to see how that goes because people are, well, so far, people are going wild.
I mean, lip products are always going to be big news, aren't they?
Yes.
So I'm very excited to see these. Well, Colette, thank you so much for joining us. It's been fascinating to hear about the Inky List and your formulations and science, etc. For more information and to shop the full range, visit theinkylist.com. And now let's go back to the teen pod.
Holly, everyone is asking about the marathon.
Yes.
So let's start with, what are your top tips for first timers?
I think it's just like finding a training plan that really works for you. I think it's such a like personal sport, I guess, in that you're not like competing against anyone. You're just, it's just yourself. And you don't need to go out too fast. I think a lot of people use the Runner app, I think, and I really, really love it. And there's obviously also Couch to 5K, which people really rate if you're going from like 0 to 5K. And then I also, for my marathon, had a coach who was a friend of my boyfriend's. And I really, really loved having that just as a kind of personal touch. But one big thing I kind of suggested to anyone was to join a running group or like a running club.
I think there are so many now.
There are so many, especially in London, but I think they're all over the country. I just, you know, I was quite nervous going to one. It's like a weird big thing, like turning up to something as an adult, I think. But honestly, I think if I was moving to a new city or a new country, I would join a running group because everyone is so friendly. And I think there's such a like mental block when you're first starting out running, like, I can't do this, I can't do that distance. I'm just going to have, I'm going to have to stop. And I remember when I was trying to train for a half marathon and all I'd done was only 5K, and then I went to a running group and they did like 7K, which I was, at the time, I was like, God, am I going to be able to keep up? But then, you know, they're all so friendly, you end up chatting to so many people, and then before I knew it, I'd just done it. And I think that's like, if you can get past that mental block of like, oh, I can do it, then everything just opens up for you.
And are you going to do another one?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You've already signed up,
though. I've entered the ballot, which is obviously very competitive, but I'd also love to run for the same charity that I ran for this year, which is Bone Cancer Research Trust. I really, really do hope I can do it again next year. It was just, like, an amazing experience. So, yeah, apparently, though, I checked, there was a news article on the BBC this morning, apparently record numbers of people have entered for next year.
Oh, wow.
I think last year it was something around 500,000 people entered the ballot, and now it's gone up to, like, 800,000. Which is crazy.
I wonder why.
That's a big jump, isn't it? I don't know like what's changed. Maybe it was just like, you know, particularly good weather, particularly good vibes. I don't know.
I think more people than ever now are running. What I've noticed in my like friendship groups. So I think it's just
become
more
quite
popular.
Cool, hasn't it? Just
very
like,
cool.
Yeah. I'd be tapping into what you were saying about it being free as well, like cost of living. Like,
that's true.
Tapping into it because it's so accessible.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, I'd really encourage anyone to do it. And, you know, lots of people are like, oh, I don't know if I could run a marathon. And like, I definitely was in that position at a point, but I don't know, I think doing it, it makes you realise there are so many different people from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different abilities, and they've all done it. And there was a guy, I remember, so I was walking back down to the embankment after I'd finished, and there was a guy still doing the race, running with a green plastic trombone. And I was just like, oh my God, he's running with a trombone, how is he doing that? And then saw a video later on the London Marathon Instagram that was featuring him, and he had just finished. He'd said, you know, I'm running this, playing the trombone. I have cancer in 3 paces and a colostomy bag.
Wow.
Quite emotional thinking about it, actually. But you just think, like, oh, my God, like, there are people like that who can do it. So I think if you want to do it, like, just try. Like, any, I think, you know, if I can do it, if he can do it, then anyone can.
Wow, so inspiring.
So inspiring, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed for next year. I think you get in.
Thank you. I really hope so.
Okay, someone has also asked, how do you discuss finances with a partner? I think this is quite interesting because everyone has different takes. Harriet, what do you...
Well, I remember we were posing this question before we sat down, and I can remember was it Charlotte said to me, mm-hmm. oh, it's going to be really interesting because you and Polly are in new-ish relationships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'll probably have quite a different perspective on it to, say, Charlotte, who's obviously been married mm-hmm. and with Ben for yeah. a really long time.
Yeah.
So sort of what's your perspective? And I was like, well, I think it's also really different from the fact that I met my boyfriend age 35 and he's 36.
Yeah.
Versus sort of, you know, my first boyfriend, I think he was 19 and I was 20. Mm-hmm. So, and we had
different stage of life. Yeah.
We had a bit of like student income or whatever, and that was it. And I think that is quite common for people, is like they grow together financially. So it
yeah.
hopefully never becomes like a massive issue because mm-hmm. you sort of just evolve mm-hmm. together. But I do think later, if you meet later in life, you've obviously got much more mm-hmm. established kind of financial. Yeah. background.
Yeah.
And my sort of knee-jerk reaction when I was asked was, I don't know that it's like really any of his business mm-hmm. until we're talking about basically getting some sort of shared asset. So yeah. whether that's a house or getting married. Mm-hmm. Even I think, because Charlotte was like, oh, what if you go on holiday? And I was like, well, you just put in your equal amounts, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, like, someone pays for something, someone pays for
yeah. everything. Yeah. I do also think, though, like, I love the idea of splitting everything equally. And I think on principle, that's like a really great way to approach your mm-hmm. finances. But I do also think there should be some kind of give and take where one person possibly is earning considerably more mm. than the other person. Yeah. And that's where maybe you do pick up a bit of slack on some things.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because in the relationship I just mentioned when I was 20 and he was 19, he was a lawyer. And so very quickly, like almost earning, straight after university, yeah. was earning mm-hmm. a shed load compared to what I was earning mm-hmm. as a first-time journalist. I think my first salary was £18,000 a year, mm-hmm. and he was probably earning at least double, if not triple that. Mm-hmm. And this is no shade to him, but he was very insistent that we would still split everything 50-50.
Interesting, okay.
And I don't know if it really became an issue because we actually broke up at 25, so it probably never got that far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it probably irked me a little bit. Like,
looking I'd be salty at that. Like,
yeah, it's not a feminist thing either. Like a kind of like, oh, yeah, or an anti-feminist thing, whatever. It should be like, oh, because he's the man who should pay. I genuinely think yeah. if I was the breadwinner, and my partner was earning considerably less than me, I would be very yeah. happy to pick up the slack in certain parts mm-hmm. because that's yeah. just what a relationship is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a big difference between supporting each other and the mm-hmm. other partner taking the piss, isn't yeah, there, financially? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real minefield, though. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's tricky.
I also know from the fact that I earn not huge amounts, but more than my boyfriend now. Mm. And I really wanted to go to this particular restaurant the other week, so I paid because mm-hmm. it was sort of my choice. Yeah. And I don't know
that you want to experience.
Yeah, and I don't know that he necessarily wanted to. Would have chosen to go
yeah.
given
yeah.
how much it was going to cost. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I want us to enjoy this together yeah. and I can afford it, so
yeah.
why not? It didn't bother yeah. me that he didn't mm-hmm. because he gets loads of other stuff. It's
fine. That's it. I think that's very sensible.
Yeah.
As long as you're both on the same mm-hmm. page, I think. But I think being transparent is usually
yeah,
a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very transparent with Lemire. We yeah. like know everything.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think like everything. Until the point where maybe you're about to like buy a house yeah. together or something, that's yeah. where you get a little bit more transparent. About exactly
oh, yeah, you
what
have
you're
to,
earning.
Yeah.
But you and Harry are about to buy.
Yeah, so we are about to buy a house together. And so we have, I mean, to be fair, we've been pretty transparent with each other from the start about our financial status.
For context, how long have you been together?
About a year.
Okay.
Which is quite short in the grand scheme of things. Clearly we've like moved quite fast, but I think possibly because we're both a bit older. Which also just a bit like
yeah.
we've just been very open with each other about like everything to do with our lives mm-hmm. and so yeah, finances have kind of never really been something that's like off the table yeah. and now obviously we know exactly what our financial statuses are mm-hmm. So I don't know, I think there's something to be said for transparency from the start if it works yeah. for you and if that's something that you are looking to do like sooner rather than later, yeah. like things like buying houses and whatever. But mm-hmm. Again, it's such a personal thing, and like, you know, I've been in relationships before where like we keep our finances very separate, and that's what's worked for that relationship. But mm-hmm.
yeah,
case by case, then maybe.
So true, yeah.
Which isn't a very satisfying answer. But
no, sorry.
No, but I think that's
the
yeah.
true to life one.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, so let's do one very last question. Someone has said, "What are some fun extras you've done for a hen do to make it feel really special?" I like that. I've got a hen do that I'm planning in that's actually next month, so I would like this answer for myself as well.
Yeah. I tell you that I'm going to be very good at it though, because I literally, this is hard to believe, I haven't been on a hen since 2018.
Oh my god.
Wow.
No, all my friends are old married
that's
ladies.
That's unheard of.
Well,
they
obviously,
they all got married very young.
Yeah.
I actually do a lot of work on our wedding edition now, and I do think if my friends were having hens now, mm-hmm. there's a lot of other things I would do.
Yeah.
I think on
a couple of hen do's I've been on, it's been really fun to do like a quiz about like the hen in a kind of like funny banter way, I guess. Maybe that's a bit obvious. So obviously like strippers can be a bit like, I don't know,
a bit icky.
We've got a drag queen for one of ours. For
my that's best a great
that's
twist.
Really good.
My best friend's hen, she was like, I really don't want a stripper. And so I was like, yeah, respect.
But you want some entertainment.
Some entertainment. And so we got a drag queen to come up, and she did the Mr. and Mrs. game and sang for everyone. And by the end of the night, we were just like dancing in the living room with this drag queen. And it was just such excellent vibes. And actually, the same night, we all happened to be dressed as men. That was the theme that my best friend had stipulated.
Drag kings all round.
Yeah, drag kings and a drag queen. Yeah, it was just so much fun. I'd really recommend it. I just Googled something like drag queens for hire. And they have like showreels and stuff.
Dragqueen.com.
Hire me. And
drag queen for you.
So I love that. That's really fun.
Yeah, what about you?
I think that's a good one. Some people don't like merch. Some people love like t-shirts.
That
and
is
stuff.
Becoming a thing though, because we were talking about it in the office, weren't we? And we were saying that lots of people now are working with like branding companies. They sort of rework the logo so that it becomes like a theme for the hen.
Yeah, that's quite clever. That's quite fun.
So you could look into that, because I think that is quite fun in it. And it does
match
up with it.
Yeah. Nice. Also something simple, like what people do at weddings, like have a cocktail named after the hen or something. That's just a bit like, not like loads of money, but just like little touches that feel like you've spent a lot of time doing that.
Yeah. I think it is quite nice to walk away from a hen with something. So the last one I went on was one of my good friends from school, and her mum came on the hen, which like wouldn't be for everyone, but we love her, so it worked. And she was so sweet, because at the dinner on the first sort of part of the hen, she had made like little goodie bags for everyone to go home with.
That's so nice.
Yeah,
that's really sweet.
And she'd done them like really personal, because there wasn't a huge hen. I'm going to say there were maybe like 12 of us. So she could really sort of assign budget, I guess, and effort to that. And so every bag was like personal to each person as well. So
that's really nice. I love that. Very thoughtful. Okay, I think we'll leave it there. But thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you have any feedback at all, please do email us at podcast@sherlock.com. You can also look out for our question box on Instagram each week, or ask your questions on the SL community at community.sherlock.com. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. See you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.